Welcome back to Bills by the Numbers, where we let the stats tell you where the Bills are at. We're presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. On the docket, Buffalo's defensive line has a lot of free agents across the front. Who's most likely to return, and who might be too pricey to keep? Does the draft offer good value to fill some holes on the D-line? And we ask our one burning question. Let's snap the ball already. Happy to have you with us here on Bills by the Numbers. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker, Bills insider Chris Brown with you. And it is an area of the team that figures to see significant change this offseason. Not only are three quarters of Buffalo's defensive linemen from the 2023 roster set to become free agents, but listening to Brandon Bean at his end-of-season press conference, it seems the club is ready to move away from a big part of their off-season practice of running it back by retaining as many of their free agents as possible. That perhaps indicates more change from one year to the next than we've typically seen during the Bean McDermott era. So knowing the mix will be different, maybe to a greater degree than we've seen recently, Steve, where does that leave your confidence in Buffalo's defensive line, knowing it was the strength of this defense last season?
I think that defense is going to have to evolve, and evolve is a nice way of saying somebody else is going to have to pick up the slack. I think the defensive backs and linebackers are going to have to step up this year and be a bigger part of the success of the team. You can't count on people you do not have in the building. And with the salary cap constraints that are going to grip the team, it's going to be really hard to find that many free agent defensive linemen, defensive ends, right, defensive tackles who can play above the contracts the Bills are going to be able to afford. It's going to be really difficult to find a group of guys who can consistently do that all the way across the board. Now, certainly there are going to be some guys like Leonard Floyd came in this last season and earned every bit of the money he earned here in Buffalo, no question about it. But that, you know, so with one guy, you've got to have like four guys like that in order for them to get back to where they were. Now, certainly, and I've said it before, I think Vaughn is going to bounce back and have an outstanding year, injury aside, if he stays healthy. I think Vaughn's got another really good season in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so we put him in where Leonard Floyd was last year. You're still down A.J. Epinesa and
Shaq Lawson
and the group. So and Leonard Floyd.
Right.
So I think it's going to be really difficult to replicate the type of success they had. Now, that doesn't mean they won't be successful. It just means they're going to look different than they did.
Yeah, I think they will look different. I think there will unquestionably be a youthful energy in the group, because I think it's going to need to get younger for the Bills to afford everything that they want to do to refortify the roster. Now, I think we can all say Brandon Bean has a proven track record of mining talent in the draft that either A, is capable of helping right away, or B, can play a role sooner rather than later for you. And then you couple that with the player development abilities of this coaching staff, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, where there will also be change. The coaching staff has also gotten younger on the defensive side of the ball. Assistant defensive line coach Marcus West ascends to defensive line coach. He's in charge of that group. He's been here the last 2 years, so there is some measure of continuity, but there's going to be some newness there as well, which shouldn't be dismissed. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. The free agent list for the Bills is as follows for their defensive line. At defensive end, A.J. Epinesa, Leonard Floyd, Shaq Lawson. At defensive tackle, Puna Ford, Daquan Jones, Linval Joseph, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle. If the cap was not a deterrent, who would you like to see the Bills bring back into the fold for 2021? No cap concerns whatsoever. Ideal world. Who do you want back there?
I would bring back Leonard Floyd, Jordan Phillips, Daquan Jones.
Those three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other guys would come back, but they would be at a discounted rate, or if they were, you know, they'd have to take a different number. But those three guys, I think, were as dependable as you can get. Now, certainly, Jordan Phillips has struggled with injury and struggled to stay on the field. But when he's been out there, he's been a difference maker, and he's one of those, you know, energy guys. Daquan, even if it's just as a reward for what he's done for the club the last couple of years, you got to think that guy can still play as well. And I think Leonard Floyd, he's a top-flight pass rusher in the NFL,
right,
no matter who he's playing for.
Played hurt the last month of the season, so his production kind of tailed off a bit. But I would agree. I would say those are the three guys you would target in an ideal world. Whether you can afford all three of them now in their current situation. Like Jordan Phillips coming off an injury-riddled season probably isn't capable of commanding big money. So I think you could probably get him back in the fold for a reasonable number. Daquan Jones might be a different story, but he is entering his age 32, 33 season. So maybe he's more affordable simply from an age perspective. Leonard Floyd, I think, is going to get big money on the open market. So I don't know how realistic he is going to be after a career best 10.5 sack season. Now let's consider the cap. What is it that you believe Buffalo does to put the pieces of the puzzle back together on that defensive front?
They will. They'll restructure Josh, Steph, Dion, maybe even guys like Knox. And I'm trying to go down the list of what guys that would be eligible for it. All the guys that are making good money in their second contract, maybe even Ed Oliver, could do a restructure as well. But those guys are all going to come back, and they're going to get their deals redone. And they'll free up the cap. They can do most of the cap but just by restructuring Josh. I think that's what they'll do, and they'll get compliant at least by doing that. So, you know, they'll restructure Josh, Vaughn, perhaps, Steph Diggs. Trey White will be restructured. Ed, Dion, Dawson, Milano could do it.
Terry Dion Johnson. Probably gets an extension.
Dion may get an extension, yeah. So you've got some guys that you could do that with. And even Rasul Douglas, you could touch on him, although he played extremely well for the club, and I think they're going to be happy to have him back. So all of that stuff, you know, maybe even Mitch Morse signs a voidable contract. So there's plenty of guys out there who can help you out with the salary cap. And for those of you who don't realize, if the club comes to these guys and wants to redo their deal, it's not about taking a pay cut. Absolutely, nobody's going to do that. But it will restructure it so they'll get more of the money they could get now, and it will be spread out over the life of a longer deal, and it will cut their cap down. So the guys are never going to be asked to take a pay cut.
Some might be.
They might be asked, but if they are asked and they say no, they're going to get cut, so they won't be on the cap anyway, or there will be a dead cap hit that will be less than the money they're making now. So none of these guys will turn their nose up at the offer that the Bills are going to make them. And I think there's plenty of guys on this roster that can get them to the, you know, they're going to have to clear up probably $70 million or 80 maybe on the outside for the entire year to go forward.
Yeah, I'm thinking more instead of a cap cleanup perspective, a D-line perspective here, trying to keep the cap in mind. AJ Epenesa is an interesting exercise here because I think the money he would command on the open market be about half of what Leonard Floyd is going to command on the open market from a production perspective. And because of that, I'm wondering if he is a more viable target for the Bills than someone like a Leonard Floyd. Like, if you want to keep one of those guys in the fold, I think it's more likely to be Epenesa for two reasons. Number one, he's younger. Number two, he can be had at a more affordable price, which translates to me that you can get him on a multi-year contract, which is kind of what you're after also with a young player on his second deal. Now, Epenesa is probably going to test the market to see if somebody wants to throw stupid money at him.
Right.
As a rotational, but here he's a rotational player. So I would like to think you could get him on a more affordable deal, young player, still on the ascent, because you could argue he's coming off his most productive season in a Bills uniform. You would hope they could find a way to that, knowing how much Brandon Bean likes to re-sign his own. So I guess I'm still pie in the sky a little bit there while trying to consider the cap. I'm hopeful they could get him back, but I think Daquan Jones is the number one priority here in terms of fitting him under, and what he's going to be able to command is going to be very interesting at 32 years of age, even though he is still a very productive player. I think GMs around the league know there are drop-off ages at all positions. For running back, it's 28. You know, for wide receiver, it's 30. What it is for defensive tackle, I don't know off the top of my head. But you best believe that the Bills, with their analytics and sports science departments, know what that is. And now they have to decide, is Daquan Jones an exception to that rule? Or is he just like everybody else? And if so, you're going to have to structure your contract offer accordingly. So it's going to be very interesting to see what that looks like.
Here's the thing. You could probably sign A.J. Epenesa for maybe half the money that
Leonard Floyd
gets. You're going to get half the sacks. You know, you're going to get that kind of production.
Well, and that's why you structure it that way.
You're going to talk about, you know, and I would, same thing, I would incentivize these guys on one-year deals and keep them motivated like that because you've got to get the most out of them. And plus, you don't have any dead cap hits going forward if you do it that way.
Right. At the same time, I think A.J. Epenesa, in a realistic world, views this as his one big swing. Second contracts, he's not taking
a one-year deal anywhere.
Because his agent would tell him he's an idiot to do that. And I don't think that, I think the Bills know that, so I think they know they can't even go to AJ with a 1 year deal in hand and say, hey, if you're willing to take this, let's do this.
I'll say this.
I think it's going to be a multi-year, if they offer him something, I think it's going to be a multi-year deal. I think it's going to have to be favorable to the Bills with their cap situation fully considered. And then from there, it becomes how far away are we from what you are looking to get? And maybe what they do is they wait and they see. I mean, usually usually the way it's gone, though, Steve, is the Bills come to the player and say, look, love to have you back in the fold. This is what we can afford. We can't get too far over our skis, even though we think a lot of you as a player. This is really all we can muster for you, even though we like you a lot and would like to have you back. If you believe you can get more on the open market, that's your right. Go see if you can get it. And if you can, best of luck to you. We just can't take that big a swing right now.
And if it's not A.J. Epenesa, it could be a guy like, some of these other, like a Sam Williams or A.J. had as many sacks as Joey Bosa. Tanoy Kanaspanon, or I can't remember.
Tano Passanio?
Yeah, that's him. Morgan Fox. Some of these other defensive linemen. There's a lot of guys out there.
Fox is going to get good money. But
they might. But I think we've seen, as with Leonard Floyd last year, just wait. Yeah. And here's the thing, too. If a guy's not getting the attention he likes, a one-year deal is what they want, because then it's just a prove-it year and incentivize it so the guy comes out like Leonard Floyd did. You incentivize and say, listen, for every sack you get over six sacks, we'll give you $500,000. And then the guy comes out.
Which is what they did with Leonard Floyd.
They highly motivated. Now, they put a ceiling on Floyd's, and once he got that, he stopped. You know, he could get injured. But you want to make sure it's open-ended so those guys keep playing to the end of the year and have a big incentive to go out and take another swing on free agency.
Right, and really, this is kind of the state of the NFL right now. There's a handful of teams with enormous cap space that can throw money around and overpay people to get them on their roster. We know there's a handful of those teams. Then there's a handful of teams in the middle that can take a couple of big swings and maybe kind of push some money into the future to kind of take a bigger swing now. And the Bills have been kind of part of that group at times. And then you have the 8 to 10 teams that really can't spend a lot and are going to go to the draft first and then fill in the back half, backfill the roster with affordable free agents. And that's the boat the Bills are in right now.
Right.
All that being said, if you had to put a percentage on it, Steve, what do you believe the percentage of turnover will be along Buffalo's defensive line? There are 8 free agents out of the 12 players that were on Buffalo's defensive line last season. How many new faces do you think we'll see? New faces. 8 free agents, 4 returning players.
You're going to see, so out of the 8 free agents, I think you're going to see 6 new faces.
Yeah, I was going to say 5, but
5 or 6, yeah. It's going to be more than half or more.
75% turnover of the free agents that exist, essentially.
Yeah I think
6 out of 8.
5 to 6 out of the 8 are going to be new faces. I think they'll find a way to get some of those guys back. Some of those guys will go back, and some of them will come back because they think this is the best place for them.
Yeah, like a Jordan Phillips.
And they're not going to get a big number out on the open market. Although they might. I mean, like you said, there's some teams out there that can throw money around, and if you're going to take a one-year deal with the Bills, take a bigger one-year deal with somebody else.
Yeah, you could. The culture here counts for something, though.
But I'm
Jordan Phillips
though.
Is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I'm with you though. I think it's going to be a half or more.
Yeah,
those eight guys.
I think the years that we've witnessed here of trying to run it back with a lot of the same faces, some of those faces are aging out now because you're just at a place where some of these players are not only on the backside of their career. Their production is tailing off as well along with it, and you need new blood. I think it's no poor reflection on the players that have come back several years over, like mm-hmm. a Shaq Lawson, for example. Mm-hmm. I think it's just the way the NFL rosters cycle. I mean, we don't have to tell anybody that NFL careers on the whole are short by nature. Some of these players have lasted, I think, longer than maybe even some of us anticipated that they would here in Buffalo specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I think the time has come, and I think the front office and the coaching staff recognizes this. It's time for some new blood, and I think we're going to see an injection of that maybe to a much higher degree than we've seen in recent years because of that fact. The free agent market and the draft are where new additions will come from, obviously. We know the crop of edge talent and defensive tackles is pretty good in this year's draft class. GM Brandon Bean also, as we said, has had a good track record of finding value at positions of need in the free agent market, either early or late post-draft. So what kind of balance do you see him striking for the defensive line between free agency and the draft? You're thinking we're looking at 5 to 6 new faces. How does that balance sheet work out, draft to free agency?
I think they'll draft 2, maybe 3 on the defensive line, 2 tackles and an end, or an end and or 2 ends and 1 tackle. Take your pick. 3 of those guys will come in the draft class, mid-round, maybe late, and then the rest are going to be free agents.
Yeah.
So I think 3 is about as much as you can hope for in this draft on defensive line. That's a big number. Might only be 2. But they're going to have some of those guys come in.
I think it's going to be 3.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 3 in the draft. Total defensive line. I'm talking defensive tackles and edge rushers. You know, especially if you don't get a player like Epinesa back because he's too costly. Yeah. And I think one of those 3 will be high in the draft, somewhere on the first 2 days. And then the other 2 will presumably be on day 3. Because I think you've got to flip the script as well, defense to offense. Because largely, over the last handful of years, the high draft choices have been on the defensive side of the ball. There have been exceptions, James Cook, Spencer Brown,
Kincaid.
But the vast majority have been on the defensive side. I think that script has to flip now. I think 2 of your first 3 selections have to be on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, you want to put 1 on defense, fine, because of the number of holes that you have. But I think some of those defensive selections are going to have to be more on the day 3 side of the draft ledger for the Bills.
There is a long list of free agents in the National Football League at defensive line, defensive end. A long list starts with Leonard Williams up at the top, whose market value is going to be like $21 million
a year.
Right,
and you can't.
Kind of
you're not playing in that sandbox if you're the Bills. You're over the dirt pile.
You can't get down to guys like Christian Wilkins and Mike.
Well,
Purcell.
Wilkins is getting over $20 million a year.
Right. Quentin Jefferson.
That's a more affordable player.
Right.
And a player who's been here before.
Right.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah, Dante Fowler is out there. It's an endless list. I mean, you know.
Right. And maybe the best approach might be the one that Brandon Bean adopted last offseason. He really held his water and didn't do anything significant.
I mean,
the first 2 weeks of free agency, and you wait until the music stops in wave 1 and see what kind of value is out there. And you might find a player that thought he was going to get gigantic money, Jordan Poyer being an example here, and he finds himself still unemployed 2 weeks into free agency, and now he just wants to have a job and land somewhere while there's still money on the table. And that's where NFL teams gain an advantage in free agency.
Right.
Because they're the ones holding the jobs.
That's right.
And they say, okay.
There's only so many spots.
Right. And so I think Brandon Bean held his water last year, got some good value as a result. He got, let's look at this.
Yeah.
He got Jordan Poyer 2 years for the same money that Poyer thought he was going to get in one. But the market was so flush with safety talent, which is the same case this year. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not a free agent. He's under contract. But a guy like Taylor Rapp, they were able to get him last year on a one-year deal because the market was so flush with talent. That is the case again this year. So, personally, I would like to think they might want to sign Taylor Rapp for more than just a one-year deal, sign him to a longer contract, being just 26 years old, lock him up for 3 years, you know, something like that. Now you can spread his money out, and you can also reward him, you know, for kind of blending in nicely last year. You can put a nice contract together for him. For the defensive lineman, probably more of the one-year variety for older play. I think the defensive line acquisition, Steve, maybe there's one early. You re-sign Daquan Jones, for example.
Maybe.
But maybe there's one or two later, like in June, like we saw last year with Puna Ford and Leonard Floyd.
And I'll say this, that they're probably the ones that they're going to wait, and they're going to sign guys late, and they're going to be guys who are new to the team, I think. Now, you could get somebody late like that, but I'll say this, too. I remember thinking this as a player. I was around when free agency began in the National Football League in the early 90s, and it was Plan B and stuff like that that were going on.
Then you had outright free agency in the mid-90s.
Then you had outright free agency, and I remember being either a Plan B or a free agent, and all I could think about, because I was a special teams guy, right?
Right. Pretty good
I was
one.
Thinking, yeah. And I knew there would be some demand, but all I could think about was, I don't have a job.
Right. I mean, that weighs on people.
You think about it. You go from making big money to making no money. And it's, you sit there and you know, your family and your life. I got to find a place to play. So I say it's a game of chicken, but it's, GMs know it. Just wait. Put out there your number and just say, here's where we're at. When you're ready to think about it, call us.
Yeah.
We love you, think the world of you, but we understand it's a market. So go get what you can get. We understand completely, but we're in a tight spot. I know you understand.
Yeah.
But we're here for you if you can get to this number.
And I think because Brandon Bean is so transparent in that way, I think players not only appreciate it, but they respect it. It's like, look, this is honestly the best we can do. Wish we could get you more, but our cap situation is this. We're paying a lot of money for a quarterback. This is what we can do.
You can envision how this goes because, you know, Brandon Bean's sitting there going, listen, they got to put a roster together. And he'll get to the point and say, listen, if you see us sign a guy, that offer's not there anymore. Yeah. We're talking to other people and all that. This is here until we sign. Yeah.
You got to get what you can get. We got to do our job, too.
We got two guys we got to sign. You're one of the guys we want. But if you see us sign two guys, that offer's not there. You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. So it's, you know, the player's got to find a place to play.
Right. As we briefly mentioned earlier, there is one element of this defensive line equation that we have not discussed, and that is the defensive line coach. Gone is Eric Washington, who had been the defensive line coach since the 2020 season. Replacing him was his assistant, Marcus West, who steps into a positional coaching role for the first time at the NFL level, though he has been a position coach and a defensive coordinator at the college level. There is continuity there, Steve, having been on the staff the last two seasons, but how might that change the dynamic, if at all?
I don't know that you will. There's only two ways you would ever know. One is being in the room and talking to the guys and seeing how the defensive linemen react to him and what their relationships are with that coach. The second one is, hey, how do they play? Are they playing better? Are they playing worse? And that we may not be able to get a gauge on that because there'll be so many new faces. You have no idea what Eric Washington could have done with the same group.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really – you're going to have to be inside the building to understand the new relationships and dynamic that are in that room. But – and this is why you know, you say run it back with the same guys. You never get to run it back. Something's always different. This year it's going to be very different for the Bills. They're not just running it back. They didn't just run it back 2 years ago or 1 year ago. You got to rebuild it from the ground up every offseason. Certainly you've got some foundational pieces in place. But those foundational pieces, this is the ultimate team sport. You start tinkering with the bottom of your roster, and it permeates the entire roster. Just like these coaches and assistant coaches who are being shuffled in, you never get the luxury of just running it back with a younger team. You run it back, now you're a year older, and some of that's going to show up on guys. So I think it's this is part of the evolution of the team. I think it's the continuity I think we have seen, not only in Buffalo, but around the National Football League. It means something. It really means something. Teams are more so, I think, in this coaching cycle, hiring from within than going out and getting new guys. Some teams are forced to do it, like Baltimore's got to get a whole new defensive staff over there. But they're promoting from within as well, too, when they can. Continuity means something. I think it's going to mean a positive here in Buffalo with West taking over for Washington.
Well, right, and that is a promotion from within, but there is also a lot of newness to Buffalo's defensive staff as well. If you think about it, Buffalo's secondary coaching staff has two coaches in Mike Dana and Jahlil Adai, who are two new guys that weren't here prior to the 2023 season. Mm-hmm. Two brand new people. So it's not only Buffalo's defensive roster that figures to get younger. Their defensive staff has already gotten considerably younger as well. Defensive line, secondary, and even their linebackers coach, who was age 40, is now their defensive coordinator. Their coordinator position got younger too. Something to consider about just how much change this team is going to undergo this offseason. Hey, Bills fans, get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app today to play any way you want. Plus, with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. Best of all, you'll get paid your winnings fast. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Buffalo Bills. We pivot now to the numbers game, where Steve will be quizzed on defensive line player acquisition for the Bills. Let's get right to it. Steve, question number one in this edition of the numbers game. How many times have the Bills used their first pick on a defensive lineman in the last 10 drafts? We're going from 2014 to 2023. How many times have the Bills used their first pick on a defensive lineman in the last 10 drafts?
Ed Oliver. Who else?
Was it AJ or Boogie?
Two.
I'll say four.
You nailed it, Steve. Four times in the last 10 drafts, a defensive lineman has been taken with the first pick. And Steve, I thought I was going to get you because I said first pick, not first round pick.
Right.
Because AJ was the first pick of the Bills in 2020, but he was a second round selection. Bills didn't have a one that year because of the Diggs trade. But here are your answers. 2021, Greg Rousseau. AJ Epenesa, 2020. Ed Oliver, 2019. And good old Shaq Lawson in 2016, a first-round draft selection. Question number two. Steve is hot out of the chute here. Question number two. In the last two off seasons, have the Bills signed more defensive tackles or more defensive ends?
Last free two agency, off seasons?
Free agency in the last two off seasons, have they signed more defensive tackles or more defensive ends?
They got Vaughn, Leonard, Floyd at end. But they got, I say tackle.
You are correct, but it's close. Defensive tackle by a count of 5-4.
Yeah, because of Puna Ford,
in the last,
Linval Joseph.
Yeah. Well, Linval Joseph technically doesn't count because he wasn't, because he was signed during the season, not during free agency.
Oh, all right, okay.
But either way, you still come out ahead because here is your count over the last two off seasons. Defensive tackle, Tim Settle, Jordan Phillips, Daquan Jones in 2022, and then Jordan Phillips again in 2023, along with Puna Ford, as you mentioned. Defensive end the last two seasons, Von Miller, Shaq Lawson, and then Shaq Lawson again last year, and Leonard Floyd.
Oh,
so 5-4 is the count.
I got you. Okay.
And I counted Phillips twice.
Right.
Question number three. Steve is 2-2. Question number three. How many defensive linemen has Buffalo picked in their last two drafts.
Ah.
14 total picks. Last two drafts, 2022, 2023.
I'll say... two.
The answer is none.
Oh.
None in the last two drafts. 14 picks, none on defensive linemen. You remember how hot people were getting about, we're always drafting defensive linemen. I'm sick of it. Well, they haven't drafted any in the last two drafts. I think that's going to change this year. I think they will draft a couple.
Yeah, I think it's going to be defensive linemen and wide receivers.
Yeah.
And get five of each.
All right, final question here. Final question, Steve, to get three out of four.
All right.
Which Bills defensive lineman has logged the most total sacks since 2020? So from the 2020 season till now, which defensive lineman for the Bills has the most sacks?
Who was the rookie that year? Was it Rousseau was the rookie that year?
2020, the rookie was A.J. Epinesa.
I'm going to say AJ.
That is incorrect. He finished third. You want to take one more swing?
Which defensive lineman has
got the most total sacks since 2020?
I'm going to say Ed. I'll say Shaq.
It is not Shaq. The answer is Ed Oliver. You were right there.
I was right there.
19 total sacks.
I talked myself out.
Obviously, he's on the roster for that whole time.
Right.
Because he got drafted in 2019, so that helps him. But 19 total sacks for Ed Oliver since 2020. That leads the team. Second, Greg Rousseau with 17 sacks since 2021. That's the first year he got on the club. AJ, as I mentioned, third with 15.5. Fourth is Mario Addison, who was only here for two of those years. He had 12. Leonard Floyd with one season, fifth with 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
And Von Miller, eight, tied for...
With a half a season.
With, yeah, basically 10 games. Fifth.
I still think the guy's going to be able to play. I think he's going to be able to play.
I think it's still in there.
I think it's still got it in the tank.
Still in there.
And I think, yes, I'm just going to keep saying it.
Okay.
Until I'm proven wrong.
All right, good job in the numbers game there at the outset. We kind of hit the hurdle there, you know, at the turn.
Yeah,
a
little bit of a speed bump.
That's okay.
There.
You were right there on the last one. I thought you were going to say Ed Oliver. You muttered it under your breath.
I talked myself out of Ed. I talked myself out of it.
That's okay. Our closing figure. We've got our one burning question first, Steve.
Right.
The Bills have 10 total picks in this year's draft. We're assuming
that's
under the assumption they're getting the compensatory pick for the loss of Tremaine Edmonds, which I think is a pretty sure bet that they will have that compensatory at the end of round three to give them a total of 10 picks in this year's draft. Knowing Brandon Breen's propensity to trade up, there's a decent chance he doesn't have 10 players taken at the end of the draft because he may use one or two of those to move up somewhere. But when the 2024 draft is over for Buffalo, Steve, how many total defensive linemen do you believe they will add to the roster?
The over-under is 2.5, right?
the over-under is sure, that's right. If that's the line you want to provide.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking between two or three. They're going to get two, absolutely. Three, maybe, but two for sure.
I'm going to go with three. I'm going on the high end here, and
if they have all 10 picks, they'll go three.
And I think they may have one or two undrafted rookies as well for the defensive line too.
They may, and I'll say this too. I think
three drafted, maybe five total.
I think two of them,
two undrafted.
I think the top two of those defensive are going to be in the first four rounds.
Okay,
I think they'll get some guys with some traits. They'll get a couple of receivers and a couple of D linemen in this draft, and maybe in those first four picks will be. I don't anticipate them. Although they could, I think this might be one of those drafts where they sit tight because they want all 10 picks.
Mm.
Unless they can, you know, unless they
see a trade super up, value,
unless they trade up and then flips picks later. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they've done that before where they slide back in the later rounds.
Yeah, so slide back because they've got like two clusters of picks, like 197, 201, and 205. You know what I mean? So one of those, they'll flip back to be 140.
Yeah, move back.
Right, they'll move back. So I think they're going to make all 10 picks. That doesn't preclude them from moving up, though. I think it's less likely that they do. But, yeah, I think they're going to get receivers and D linemen at the top of this draft.
I would agree. Our closing figure deals with a percentage concerning Brandon Bean and the draft. In the 6 drafts run by Buffalo's general manager, he has drafted a defensive lineman on just 5 of his 18 day 1 and day 2 picks. That's about 28% of his day 1 and day 2 picks used on a defensive lineman. The lowest percentage belongs to wide receiver. In the last 6 drafts, the Bills have not drafted a single wide receiver in the first 3 rounds. Don't forget, Zay Jones was a second-round pick in 2017 before Bean got here and ran the draft. But I think many of us are anticipating that to change this spring. It. Fingers and toes crossed!
Well, here's the thing. There are receivers in every draft, and you hear us talk about it. Everybody says, these guys are going to be great. There's a ton of great wide receivers. Yes, but there is not a ton. There's less than a handful of guys you know are going to be difference makers. Everybody else has got a question. Everybody else has got I've seen guys like him flame out. I've seen guys like this guy bust. I've seen guys like this not be able to overcome what the problems this guy has. Other guys have, but other guys haven't. Then you get a guy in the 5th round like Steph Diggs who blossoms. So there's less than a handful of wide receivers in this draft, like there always is, who can make a difference. And when you're picking 28th, you never get a shot at them. So that's why you're going to say, if you're going to wait, you may as well wait.
Yeah.
Because those guys, there's a guy at another position you could also use who doesn't have those question marks, a linebacker, a corner, a safety, whatever, a tight end last year. Less question marks. He's for sure. And when you're up picking the number, your first pick of the draft, for sure is the best quality.
Well, and then the other part of that equation that us as outside observers often do not know is the all-important character part of the equation here. You may have a player whose highlight reel is absolute dynamite, but you don't know that the guy's a carouser at night and, you know, might have some, you know, red X's in certain categories that doesn't line up with what a team wants in a player. And that's why you always have to remember that this player may even have a successful career in the NFL, but he's not a fit for our club for reasons A, B, C, and D.
Right.
Super talented player, should have a successful career, but not a fit for us.
Right.
So it's not just, can he play in the NFL? The second question all 32 teams ask is he a fit for us and what we do and our daily operation? That is another part of the equation that often gets lost because fans and even people like us sometimes don't have the full picture on the player's background, character, and everything else, which would then cross them off a list for maybe 8 to 10 teams. And that's the part of the puzzle that we often don't get privy to, which often tips the scales on one player over another. That'll do it for this edition. Make a point to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use so you're notified when the next episode is out, because when you need to know about the Bills, you need to check Bills by the Numbers. For Steve Tasker, I'm Chris Brown. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time, everybody.